sermon. It's only 3 pages today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. As an answer to prayer, Dave, we've been praying for you for a long time. But go to the Bibles. Let's go to the Bibles. And go to 1 Samuel. Samuel's in the Old Testament. It's after the book of Judges. And Joshua. And all those other books. So the mic is not very far from any of you. Who would like to volunteer to read 1 Samuel 1, verses 14 through 20? Lisa, take it away.
Okay, let's see. Oops, no, it's 1, chapter 1. Okay. And, is this right? Yeah. And said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him."
Thank you very much. Pass that to Jason. He'll need it. Not yet. Not yet. Stay firm there. Okay, let's back up in the story just a little bit. Let's go to verses 1 through 4. Okay, this is at the end of the period of Judges. And Samuel is going to be, when he grows up, he's going to be the last great judge and one of the primary prophets of the Old Testament for Judah and Israel. But let's notice that verse 2. Go to verse 2. "Will this or will this not cause strife in the family?" He had two wives. Stay with that. He had two wives, one with Hannah, and the other one was Peninnah. Now, Peninnah, the second wife, that's not her real name. We don't know her real name. Because in the Jewish language, that word Peninnah is a technical term. I laughed when I saw that. It's a technical term. It's Old Hebrew for wife number two. So she is known as wife number two. I can just see that. Hannah and wife number two. Come on, dinner's ready. You know, I can just see it now. But it's a technical term. I love the Hebrew language. Don't understand it, but I love it. So it also could mean co-wife. But in this one, I think it's kind of funny to say, "Hey, wife number two." But wife number two is the one that's got all the kids. Hannah is barren. So do you think that causes a little grief or a little competition in the family or some bitterness or hard feelings? Yes, it certainly does. So that's part of the background of this whole story. Is now the husband, he is very, very faithful as far as doing his sacrifices, his walk in the Lord. He's very faithful. So every year he goes to Shiloh, which was where the tabernacle was at the time, and he would give sacrifices. So Hannah, at 1 year, it doesn't say the time period. It doesn't say whether it's been going on 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. It doesn't give that time period. But it's, they go. And then while he's doing sacrifices, she is someplace else within the holy area, and she's giving her prayers. Eli, notice what Eli goes. He is the priest at that time period, and he's going "Are you drunk, woman? Why are you here praying to God while you're drunk?" But she wasn't drunk, was she? She was deep into prayer in the Lord because she was driven by her intense desire to have children, to be fulfilled in the law or in the Lord, and it wasn't happening yet. So, have you ever prayed so hard that it was almost impossible for you to have let any words out? You're crying out to God. You ever pray to God that sometimes you know you're praying to God, but you don't quite have the words? It's because your spirit is already before God, groaning on your behalf. So let's talk about this. Hannah is deeply troubled, and her life is full of anxiety and frustration. Now, 2 weeks ago, this Tuesday coming up, what major event did we have happen locally and nationally? The elections. Now, it may have worked out for you the way you voted, or maybe it didn't. I was sharing this with some folks yesterday. I'm down in Congressional District 4, down in West Jordan. We're still trying to figure out who's winning between Love and McAdams. There's a difference of 487 votes, okay? But it's not enough for a recount if they have to recount, because it has to be that 0.25 separation of votes. Well, that's a pretty small amount, but we'll see what happens. My frustration, this is Dave, my frustration is how the White House reacted to all the different elections. It's the state, it's the congressional levels, it's the Senate levels, it's all this chaos from national government on down. And I'm looking at all these things that go on. And as again, as I shared with some folks yesterday, I go, we're in a period of darkness. We're in a period of darkness. And it's up to us as Christians to pray out of it, to bring our nation out of it. So let's go back to Hannah. She was in a period of her own darkness. But she went to the Lord. She went to the Lord and said, "I will give you my son." Now the Bible, especially in Proverbs, is very careful about saying, when you make an oath to God, what are you supposed to do? Keep it. Keep it. How many times have you made an oath to God and you didn't keep it? And you're still alive. He takes that kind of seriously. Now, I know I prayed as a young man, one of my non-denominational churches up in Portland. And I look back at some of the things I prayed. What was I thinking? I've been killed and resurrected at least a dozen times because of oaths that I didn't keep. And so, but this was one that she was absolutely going to make sure it happened. She prayed, and lo and behold, what happened? She, in fact, got pregnant. Barren womb, miraculous. She gets pregnant. She has a son. Now, is that an answer to prayer for her? It was also, unknowingly and unwittingly for the nation of Israel, it was an answer to prayer for the nation. Because when Samuel came along, things really changed. How are we? So here's a question to each of you. How are we as Christians called to process things that go wrong around us? How do we respond to life's difficulties? Think about it yourself. When things suddenly do not go right, how do you respond? How do you respond? Do you go, "Oh, shoot"? Do you go for your bourbon? I know none of you would go for a cigarette or a marijuana or anything like that. Ah, guilty. Okay. You know, or do you go out for a walk? Do you go out for a drive? How do you react? Or have you learned over a period of time that when something not so good comes to you, you go, "All right, Lord, what is it you want me to learn from this?" Do things always go right at work, John, Jason? You lie. Okay. Steve, you work with Jason. Does things always go right for him? You're just down the office from him, right? Or are you in another building and you still hear him all upset? Yeah, okay. Okay. Keith, how about for you? Yeah. Okay, so our tendency is if things do not go right, our flesh might get in the way, and do we have a tendency to get a little upset? Or do you withdraw? That's the other extreme. Do you withdraw? Me personally, I can go either way. I never know, especially when I was a first sergeant. You remember your military days? Oh, you remember them. Okay? You never knew what was going to happen. Somebody would react badly, or they reacted well. And then you're always surprised when they start to mature and they react better. How are you doing in your Christian walk in the area of maturity? How are you doing? When you are troubled, anxious, or frustrated, how do you handle that?
Coffee.
Coffee. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right, so what does Hannah do when she finds herself in a difficult place? She's moved to prayer. Who here wakes up at 2 or 3 in the morning needing to pray? Have you ever woken up at 2 or 3 in the morning needing to pray? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a good thing. I've been moved at 2 or 3 in the morning to get up and pray. I don't know how hard it is for you, but it takes me a while to wake up enough to be able to be coherent enough to be able to pray. But there's been times where I've woken up in the middle of the night, I'm laying there in bed, and I hear that small, still voice that says, I need you to get up. I need you to pray. Or I want you to go look at a verse. It's hard to do. But Samuel went through that as a young child. He got called by the Lord 3 different times. The first 2 times, Eli said, nah, you're hearing things, go back to bed. And then the 3rd time that Samuel heard it as a young child, that's when Eli was awake enough to realize, oh, that's God. Go answer God and see what it is he wants. Right. Hannah's ability to see her difficulties and to take them in prayer reminds us of who from the New Testament? Who does that remind us of? And he was a big guy that was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's Jesus. Where Hannah was in the Old Testament and she's crying out her heart. Things are going terribly wrong, terribly bad. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. What was going to happen to Jesus a couple days later? Yeah. Crucifixion, death, and then I'm glad resurrection. She went before the Lord because she was scared. She was nervous. She was very upset. She wanted things to change. She was tired of the persecution that she got from wife number 2. She got tired of that. Did Jesus have the same kind of emotions when he was in Garden of Gethsemane? Yeah, you bet he did. He was scared. He wasn't angry. But one part of his prayer is, please pass this cup on to somebody else. That was as honest of a request and a prayer as you can get. Please give this to somebody else. How about the person down the street? Give it to them. But then he goes, not my will, but your will be done. He was vulnerable. Hannah was vulnerable. When we're in prayer, when you really get down to brass tacks, when you're in prayer, you're vulnerable. And that's a good thing to be in. Now, it says, verse 18, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. She's saying this to Eli. Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away, ate, and her face was no longer sad. Okay, where's the mic at? Question for you, Jason. Here's your chance, A, B, C, or D, all of the above. Okay. So what does it mean she was no longer sad?
All of the above.
Wrong. Final Jeopardy. Okay. What does it mean?
Her concerns were lifted. Her concerns were lifted.
Her concerns were lifted. So what happened between going in to get the prayer and then walking away from the prayer? What happened? What took place? What changed for her? What changed? Hand the mic over to Keith. He's dying to answer this question here. And let the panic rise. Okay, how? She opened herself up. It was prayer. What else? What did Eli do? What did Eli do? He what? Yeah. She was a happy camper. She went home, looked at wife number two and goes, neener, neener, neener.
Is that
you what? She was filled with hope. You nailed it. Thank you very much. Those of you only get half a credit. Okay. But yeah, she's full of hope. Her prayer has been confirmed. Now, Eli was the reigning prophet at the time. It was his turn to be there at the Holy of Holies and all those other things. Don't you think the Spirit moved through him to her? Because she needed to hear that positive affirmation. Your prayers are answered. You're going to be okay. Other translations will say that she went home, washed her face, put on the happy smile, kind of like the song, put on the happy smile. But she knew God had answered her prayer. She knew she'd been in the presence of God. Is it like that for you when you pray? Really where I'm trying to lead us all to at this point is, when you pray, are you in the presence of God? Or do you occasionally feel like there's this iron ceiling over the top of you and you haven't broken through to God yet? It's okay to say that. I've been there. I felt like I was just, whatever I'm praying is just pinging around me. And then other times, I have these incredible breakthroughs. And I go, God heard me. God's with me. We're good. So I ask you for that this morning. Be like Hannah, not wife number two. Be like Hannah. And when you go to pray, the Bible says, pray fervently. Pray with emotion. Pray with that knowledge, knowing that Christ is with you no matter what. Let's pray. Father, I ask